Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games, hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me, as always...
It's Ben Vanel here, and with me, as always...
It's Adam Knox here. End of show.
Just introduce ourselves.
Yeah, we just go, hey, we're still here, as always. See you later.
You got to do that. On just the socials, in. Pop in every now and then. People forget who you are.
Just mark ourselves as safe.
Yes.
And move on.
That's a good point. This might be the last one we do in person for a little bit.
Yeah. Who fucking knows, hey? Yeah. We're back in, if you don't live in Melbourne or Australia, there's... More COVID cases and shit here have kicked off. Barely anyone here has the vaccine yet.
Tommy Dasilo marked himself as rapidly losing marbles during the great lockdown speculation of May 2021.
I know, we're getting it again. It's such a deja vu, but we'll see. Who knows?
Yeah.
We'll do it online. If not, we've done Zoom before.
Yeah.
God damn it, we'll do it again.
Yes.
The only thing worse than a COVID lockdown would be having a COVID lockdown narrated by a British man the entire way through. For some reason that I don't understand.
I think I know the reason. We'll get into it.
Yeah, I mean, those chief medical officers, I got to be honest, as far as I'm concerned, they're up there speaking gibberish. What I didn't need is, a guy over the top of them going, he thinks that you should brace yourself for more cases in the next few days.
You condescending fuck. You think I can't intuit what means?
Tommy's going to spend a lot of money on Uber Eats in the next week, so conserve your resources.
That's it. That's the most offensive thing about a game that we'll be talking about soon. The assumption...
Biomutant.
Mm-hmm. The assumption that we don't all speak fluent rat gibberish is just, honestly, do better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do better, makers of Biomutant.
My assumption, why don't we just get into Biomutant?
Yeah.
What is it? It's 1 minute into the episode. We'll fucking, for once, jump into game.
This is a real sign of the end of days, isn't it? Us not faffing around for 15 minutes up the top of the
show. We don't have time. There's a lockdown coming in a few hours, potentially. Mm. We've got to just rush through this. Mm. Biomutant, it's got some good ideas, but there's some that are really crazy ideas. Bad. Middle game.
Yes.
End of show again. I'm keen to get out of here for some reason.
That's it. Yeah, the last time we might be able to do this in person for ages.
Yeah, come on, wrap it up.
Let's race through it. No, I just want to get home and get back on Zoom.
So Biomutant, a game developed by a bunch of developers who left Avalanche?
I think so, yes.
Who developed Just Cause, the Mad Max game that I loved.
Yeah.
And some other stuff, probably.
Yeah, I reckon.
Published by THQ Nordic.
Just Cause.
Just Cause.
Why are you playing that? Just Cause. Yeah. What are you playing? Just Cause.
Which was the best thing about that game is you were just flying around blowing shit up Just Cause.
Like, just Cause.
That was like the point of it.
You had Just Cause to say Just Cause.
Yeah. What kind of lettuce do I like? Just Cause.
Oh, really?
Mm. Wow. That's very narrow-minded. Missing out on Rocket.
I hate Rocket, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
What?
Here he goes.
Nah.
The stare, the 1,000-yard stare.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of...
what do you wish the Titanic
No. What kind of three women musical group with violins do I like? Just Cause.
Yes. There you go. Took too long.
Yeah.
But I got there.
Yeah.
So, you know.
That should be like an unlockable.
Fast forward if you didn't like the amount of time I was singing for. Skip.
Remember when unlockables in games were like kind of funny? Like there'd be like gag... things in games.
Having played Shadow Man recently, there were a bunch of cheats you could get where it's like, play as a dog, and that sort of thing where it was just like no benefit, just a fun little thing.
I was listening to a podcast about Wave Race 64 and the subsequent GameCube follow-up recently, but they were talking about in the GameCube one, there was a cheat that was kind of laid dormant for ages. People only found this relatively recently, where if you put a code in, the announcer voice in the game turns really sarcastic. So it's like every move you do, it's like, yeah, good one.
Okay.
Yeah, you really did bad there, didn't you? And it's like, oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. What if you took that fun idea of having an annoying voice play over the top of your game yeah. and made an entire game wrapped around that
what
idea?
What if you took the idea of playing as a dog and made an entire game out of that yeah. idea? Mm.
So by
but anyway, it would have been good to see that make a comeback in the Just Cause games if you mm-hmm. entered a little code, if you could have every time you blow up a base, you just hear, "You're forgiven, not forgotten." playing as you like hang glide your way to safety.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I like it.
Pretty
yeah.
cool.
Change
pretty
the
cool.
vibe. Yeah. Okay.
So yeah, these people, they left Avalanche in 2015.
Right.
So that was around the time Mad Max was coming out, I'm pretty sure.
Yes, it was.
And Just Cause 3 would have been the next year maybe.
Yep.
Right. So they got out of there, and since then they've been making this game Biomutant.
Yes.
I feel like it's been around for ages. I remember it being announced and shown. Like basically what is the intro to this game now? They showed 6 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yep. like pretty much soon as they existed, they were like, guess what, Biomutant.
I found a thing, it leaked in like a scan from a magazine before it had been announced. There right. was just like right. the, now the like promo image of
the little raccoon guy.
The little mm. raccoon guy who, yeah, it's kind of weird because you make your own little character. Mm. Like you don't really play as him.
Yeah, so you start off doing it. It's like an open world action kind of semi-RPG, but just stats on a kind of third-person combat,
yep.
slashing real, and
yeah,
shooting.
Real-time combat.
Yeah.
But with like, yeah, skill tree stuff, yeah, stat building.
You're getting
like
new little
powers.
Combos that are all quite yeah. simple, and you're doing crafting and making better loot and stuff. But it's not RPG in the way of like, there's not really much interaction or character building in terms of plot to do.
Yeah.
But there is in terms of, at the very start, you go through, you pick like a class and yeah. then mm-hmm. you pick like skills to special. It's got all that sort of stuff.
And that changes the way your character looks, which is a cool idea. So yes. based on whether you are faster, you might have longer legs. And if you're smarter, you've got a bigger head and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. I really like the character creation stuff. And it does indicate like it is going to be an RPG. That's mm. what I thought. I was like, because I just played Mass Effect, you know.
Right.
And I'm like, oh yeah, cool. Like classes and stats and... There is there's dialogue selections in the game, but there's irrelevant.
And a
they're
very
all the same,
light,
basically.
Light and dark, a very surface level seeming kind of good or bad choice.
If this
system.
Description sounds kind of like jumbled and has too many ideas in it,
yeah.
that's reflective of the game. It's kind of hard to describe because it's like little bits and pieces of a bunch of good games.
They've thrown yeah. a lot of stuff at this and it kind of ends up having that, what's that saying, like wide as an ocean, shallow as a puddle type of feeling?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Where you're it all ends up being collectathon type stuff and Assassin's Creed style.
Mm-hmm.
Go into this fort and fight these people, but it's all, you're doing the same basic thing. You're either moving from one place to another or fighting some people.
And
that's kind of
like
all games when you boil them down at some point.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
there's just no motivation to do them in this game other than a quite nice looking environment.
Yeah, I've been reading a lot of reviews of this game because I'm sort of like, I don't know how to feel about it. And I've been seeing a lot of pushback in the comments. Surprisingly, you know, a large amount of people who have been waiting for 6 years, expecting
right.
this to be great, and have the sort of pre-existing impression that it's really good.
Mm.
And they're sort of like jumping in the comments being like, this review complains about, you know, repetitious, you know, open world stuff. But every open world game is like that. And it's hard to, it's like, well, okay, top level criticism of the criticism, you're correct.
Yeah.
But when you play it, it's like, maybe it's just not fun enough or something.
It's just sort of boring in this.
Yeah.
It feels
right, I mean,
a little janky and it feels a little weird. And you can say like, oh, every movie is just shots of people saying things.
Right.
But some are better than others. And
yeah,
it's
exactly. Like, yeah, you're right. Or every game boils down to that. But most, the good ones do a better job of disguising it. Of
just,
tricking
and,
you into like forgetting that you're just doing a task again and again and again and again.
I think the thing that makes it stand out in this too is that the quality is patchy. It's not that it's bad all the time. It's that it wildly swings between I'm having quite a lot of fun right now to this fucking sucks.
Well, let's talk about the fun things.
Because I think, Ben, what you're saying, those comments, I think what's actually going on there is that they're saying you know, sure, you may be saying that the open world is boring and repetitive, but what you haven't factored in is that the little rats are sexy and I want to fuck them. I think that's what's going on with anyone who's going in really to bat with this game before it's come out.
You're telling me that it's quite boring to walk from one objective to another when they're basically the same objective, but you're looking at that rat's sweet, sweet little ass the entire time. So I don't quite understand where the problem
is. Yeah, you hate to see the fetch quest, but you love to see him walk there.
I was trying to piece that together in my head.
I don't know if I nailed it, but...
I felt like I was going to have a stroke.
That's the right direction.
Sure,
you got it.
Yeah, yeah.
The moving around the world and the world looks nice, and the combat can often be quite enjoyable.
Yes.
Going and exploring these little ruins, you're in like sort of a
Let's talk about what this is. Yeah, it's post-apocalyptic world, and it's all little kind of like little vermin creatures that have become...
Like the dominant life form.
Yeah, various forms of mutation. But it's like a lot of like, just wreckages of towns and stuff. And then big sort of mutant things attacking you. And various different sort of like otters and rats and stuff that are kind of humanized. And
it's difficult to get a real good handle on it early on because the way it's presented is very confusing. Like you get a lot of strange neons thrown at you, but you're like a bunch of little rats, and then there's some meat eaters who roam around and they're dangerous, and then there's like some world-ending big animals that are dangerous as well. There's a tree of life that's trying to bring the world back, but there's some big animals that are trying to wreck the world again. Humans are long gone, but their cities there are sort of torn down versions of the cities.
And you early on, you one of your earliest kind of missions is going and picking a tribe to align yourself with. And that, again, that sort of reeks to me of one of those things where whichever one you choose doesn't really make too much of a difference to what you're going to be doing in the game. It just feels like one of the tribes is like, we should let the world eaters just destroy everything and start again. And the other one is like, no, we should try and have unity. And it's like, I bet whether I pick the peaceful ones or the evil ones, it's just going to end up being the same stuff.
You're either turning the green areas yellow or the yellow areas green.
I think the ending's different.
Sure.
Right.
But sort of the
game terms of what mechanically, it doesn't really change anything.
But so then what you're doing either way is going around an open world and finding little interesting bits, and maybe you'll get a little quest to be like, go get us some wood, please. Or maybe you'll get more interesting quests that are like, go into this area and explore.
Please.
Please.
Very polite game.
Yeah. Well, if you picked the nice tribe.
Yeah.
You picked the bad tribe. They're like, fucking go and look into this area.
Why haven't you done that yet?
Cunt.
Move it. Oi, fuckhead. Go kill, do the same combat puzzle, but in the other place. Not really puzzles, but there's just little, in some missions you get little arenas where it's like, there's a thing in the corner here. Maybe we need to get the big guy to charge into that. And small stuff, but the main enjoyable part of this is the same sort of thing that you get from like a Mad Max of big open world, go around and tick off all the boxes in a calming way.
Yes.
If you're just relaxing and doing that, it's quite fun, and I'm finding it engaging in that way because it looks nice enough. It plays
it's a cool
okay.
World. Yeah, the environment looks nice.
This sort of scale things of like you're a very small animal and like a giant ruined bridge.
Yep.
Like visually, that stuff's all really executed quite well.
And it's just not like it is sometimes fun to go around and tick off those boxes, collect all the stuff. You know, like it's
no worse in that sense, or in any sense, I feel like, then Assassin's Creed Valhalla, which I just played.
Right.
And find the story to be a little shallow and the characterization a little shallow, but mechanically and visually very fun.
Right. And it doesn't quite have that same level of polish because you can tell that this is a team who is making a game against the odds. It really feels like this game fell apart 5 times and they nearly fucked it a bunch of... Do you know what I mean?
Like,
You really get that feeling like this is an old car with an engine that's about to get out, but oh boy, it'll just get you there.
It feels really nice to move around in too, like just the pure exploration.
I love the animation of when you go from walking to sprinting.
Yes.
Your little rabbit guy going onto all fours and galloping along.
Yep. It's cool, and there's a lot of cool ideas, and the three of us have been talking about this a bit during the week in our group chat. My biggest issue with it is just... the tone of it is just all over the place.
Yeah.
And for what you're saying about it falling apart and then, you know, reassembling it a few times, I think this is where it really shows that, because it's somewhere between kind of being like a Street Sharks, like Ninja Turtles, kind of like goofy mutant animals thing. And then it's got this sort of action movie comic book like effect where when you're in combat, little bits of like text will appear, like and sound effects and all that stuff above characers' heads. And
like
then,
your special move you just did, the name of it will go...
Right. Yeah, all that kind of stuff. Yeah. And then the third element is this like incredibly like earnest storyline of like the tree of life uniting everything. And I think the thing we're finding most annoying about it, the three of us, is that there is a British narrator that is constantly piping up through this game.
He's the only guy that's piping up.
Yeah, so any cutscenes that you have, any new characters that you meet, they speak in gibberish, which is subtitled.
Like Banjo-Kazooie style.
Yeah.
And it's,
but then the narrator comes over the top and goes, he's telling you that this is what you should do. And it becomes
awful.
Infuriating immediately.
An insane decision because it means none of the characters have any character to them because you've only got one personality that you're interacting with at any point. And it's a grating one.
It's a real shame that the characters don't have that personality through the voice because visually they're great.
Yeah.
Like it is a really creative game visually. I love the customization and like you said, Nox, like putting more points into strength and you like the character looks tougher, but also putting more points into like psionics or whatever, their brain gets bigger. Like,
yeah,
that's fun, that's cool stuff. And like the pre-existing characters or the designed ones are pretty creative and they're fun and they're like, you know, it's a fantastic Mr. Fox. Like, give those characters fun, good voices.
Yeah.
I'm going to like that.
And just the gibberish voices is fine because my guess as to why they've done this is so that they only have to translate it with one actor.
Right.
When they translate it. That's purely a guess, but it does cut down on that.
Right.
But it just has such a negative impact on.
But yeah, if they just spoke gibberish and then you're watching it subtitled, it wouldn't matter. Fine. You don't need to have English speaking voices or like,
It's having this guy that's visually and audibly full of personality, like looks interesting and goes, has like a specific noise they make. And then it's like, yeah, basically what he says is go over there.
Yeah.
Like the narrator doesn't even seem to give a shit about trying to put that personality that they clearly have onto them.
Right.
Just that getting a summary of what someone said is very frustrating, even in real life. If someone's like, yeah, they told you to come around at 3. And they're like, but no, what did they say though?
Yeah.
Did they say come around at 3 or they're like, oh, maybe he could show up at 3? Like, be specific.
Yeah. And it's and also like the...
Tell me exactly. I cannot handle this.
I need to know when I'll be 5 minutes late for.
It's also just like a weird step removed from the world because like
completely
it is such this rich world and it's like, well, who's this narrator? Like I'm sort of out of the idea that I'm like currently experiencing and like immersing myself in this world. It's like, so am I reading a storybook? Am I watching this as a thing that's like already happened? Like, why is this being narrated? It just completely takes you out of the world and makes you feel like you're observing in on something rather than this is an avatar for you and your decisions.
Totally. Yeah. No justification for it given and then throws a lot of stuff at you. Like, there's a lot of, you know, it's a very sort of kids fantasy novel type of thing to change the word mother to Mooma because it's a crazy world.
Wang Fu.
Exactly. You don't know what any of those fucking words mean, though, when you're doing it. So, like, instead of saying, oh, turn that wheel over there, turn that twirly curly or whatever. Like, they've just got... And maybe that's just an English thing. I don't know.
So, they developed Mad Max, and that game came out, I think, just before or, like, really close to Fury Road coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And Fury Road... I guess this was in the previous Mad Max movies.
Yeah, it was.
But the language stuff was different, like guzzoline and all that stuff. But that was very foregrounded in Fury Road.
Yeah.
And it was done well. Like, it's a very fine line to tread of being sort of lame and corny and cheesy and, like, a fun, interesting addition to the world. And they did that stuff in the game, in the Mad Max game. It's all in there as well.
Yeah.
But it's obvious what it means. Like, it's always very close approximations of what the word would have been in our time, you know, 100 years ago, pre-apocalypse. And it's not done in, like, a cartoony, kiddie, comic-y sort of way.
And the effect is just completely the opposite, where that is immersive and this one completely takes you out of
it. Yeah.
Like, there's... we were talking about this in the chat. There's a character that you meet early on who is dressed up as Elvis.
And he's going, oh...
Yeah, and his little gibberish is, like, all that. And so, first of all, like... Why? Like, who cares, but why?
Mm.
But then, so you've got all this visual stuff, but then the subtitles and what the narrator is saying is just straight up like...
Yeah, Elvis just said,
go over there and look in that pile of
weeds. Yeah, there's no personality in the actual, like, translation of the dialogue. And if this, if it had have been... Yeah, Banjo-Kazooie style, and they actually had put some flavor into the text and built this out, then it would feel really, it would feel great. And I mean, my personal taste would be, I wish they had just fully gone in the direction of going, let's make a Straight Sharks style, like dumb mutant animal, 90s style, kind of, let's really riff on that and just make it sort of dumb and very silly, but
because they're not quite weird, that far, like, and they're not quite at the point where they're serious about it. It's a weird tone anyway. It's
really
like you
earnest,
said.
Like orchestral score that comes in, and the Tree of
like
Life stuff.
Like
weird
looking fucking
so
rabbit
off.
Mum, like very early on, dies in a flashback. You're like, okay, I don't give a shit about that weird looking creep.
they throw a lot of you. They throw so much stuff at you at the start of like story stuff, then flashbacks, and
tutorial
it's like,
stuff as well.
We don't understand the world yet, let alone who you were as a child and what weird things you're learning, like abilities and like just like drop us in. And yeah, tonally, I would be happy for it to be a sort of earnest post-apocalyptic thing with animals.
Yeah.
And lean into some like movie tropes, but don't make Elvis one of the side characters. You know,
it's
just
very
like
weird.
Having an anthropomorphic animal be a character in a game that's treated seriously is enough of a fun idea.
Yeah.
Don't add this other stuff on top.
And Elvis is fine if he doesn't come out of nowhere when the whole lead up to that has been like the world's over and the dream life is dying.
Why is this rat obsessed with Elvis?
Yeah.
So
how did he learn about Elvis?
That's our box cover pull quote. Why is this rat obsessed with Elvis? 3 stars.
It's honestly, yeah, because it's such a shame because all of that stuff really detracts from your motivation to engage with the kind of fun stuff that's in there. Like, it's not a terrible game. I don't think it's the best thing, but it feels like a remaster of like a PS2 or N64 era game.
It really feels like the kind of weird thing that came out around that era where and we also should say that like from in the past when we've had these kinds of issues with games, like we all know from then looking in our Facebook group and the Discord and like listeners of ours that have been playing these games where we felt like that the writing is corny or that the tone is off. I think we the three of us for whatever reason that sort
sensitive.
Of stuff bothers us more than it tends to bother our listeners, so your mileage on this will probably be quite different. And if you do just want like a fun open world thing that is at least in terms of its characters and setting, it is doing something pretty different to what else is out there, and it is trying something pretty new. So yeah, maybe it is maybe it is worth a go, because I don't think any of us think that it's terrible.
No.
I find myself not really wanting to put it on again because there's a setting in the options where you can choose how often the narrator pipes up, and I put it all the way down to 0, and I swear to God, he's chiming in more, almost as if the game is trying to spite me for silencing him.
The
it's
game
bizarre.
Is a little buggy, so it could be that, but there's another setting in the options where you can just turn off speech volume, and I've got in and done that, and he never speaks. There's subtitles, but whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
And has made it a lot more enjoyable with that change and skipping every cutscene.
Yeah.
It is a decent Assassin's Creed style game. It is very much, if you like that type of thing, that open world, throwing everything in the bucket that they can think of.
Yep.
But it all plays kind of similarly, but it can be relaxing. Like, it is that game, and it's a not terrible one at all. But fucking turn all the voices off, in my opinion.
You still have to skip twice because you skip the voiceover and you skip the
you
subtitle
skip
after that.
The gibberish and the subtitle.
And you can
and
so
the,
easily, because
the
gibberish goes beep, 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 beep for like 2 seconds.
Yeah.
And if you take a second to skip, you've just skipped over the text that pops up.
Yes.
There's lots of little weird glitchy kind of things like that.
Yeah, at the end of the day, I mean, they've been working on this game for a long time, and it feels like, like you said, that they've had a bit of trouble kind of just nailing it. And I feel bad for them, like the timing that it's coming out as well, because I kind of found myself going like, oh, I wish they had just committed in one direction more solidly to this kind of like goofy animals idea, because I would like to play a game like this that looks good and has good environments and it's fun animals and you're doing shooting. And then I realised, oh yeah, Ratchet and Clank is out in 2 weeks, and I'm gonna get that from that. So
and
it's
it'll
like,
be more directed, I think.
But you know what I mean? It's like I feel like there's just kind of enough different sort of things have come out around the same time as this that are sort of like negatively, you know, not that you can control this kind of stuff, but you always feel a bit bad when you realize something is going up against a sort of similar toned kind of thing that's probably going to do it a bit more effectively.
Well, and the same thing in terms of gameplay, really, where this is doing the Assassin's Creed thing, where there's like a bunch of different options for you, but it's kind of too much. It makes it just a little confusing at times, or like, because it's all fairly simple, but there's just so much of it that you lose track of, and like, here's the crafting, here's my one type of power, here's my other type of power, here's the powers, leveling up the thing.
It's very Mass Effect, but it's, again, it pales in comparison, which is really unfortunate. Yeah. It's like, well, like, I was trying to use the powers today. I was like, why? They're not shooting. And one of them's like, oh, when you dash, this will... It's like, oh, okay, this is not clear enough. Like, if you're going to have powers, just make it shoot a fireball or something.
Right.
I also don't like the sort of interface stuff. It looks like Fortnite. And that's been pointed out by other people. Like, the font is Fortnite. It's very sort of childlike or cartoony.
Yeah.
And again, like...
just small things like you can't get rid of your quest tracker.
Yeah.
So you've always got one on, and so you can never really just go free roam around without a little thing. Really small, but when you're noticing a lot of things being not quite there, it all kind of stacks up.
You can't save your game when you're in the middle of one of the childhood flashback sequences that's like, no, you are doing this in one sitting, otherwise you'll go off and you'll do other stuff and you'll forget the lore that we're trying to teach
this
you about.
This is a memory. You cannot abandon a memory. They're there forever.
There weren't save states 15 years ago, so there's not save states in the world of this game 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you love that type of open world game, this is decent.
I think it's not just us, because all the reviews have sort of mentioned the sort of tonal things and the sort of strange storytelling and the vibe and stuff. But it's the kind of thing where it does come down to taste. And if you find the narrator very charming, which I can see that happening. Like, I liked Stephen Fry narrating Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
It's Stephen Fry
15 years ago.
Giving you the little Big Planet tutorials is what it made me think of.
Right. Yeah. And like, I did like that back then. Maybe your taste will align with this now. And like, there's enough elements of like comic booky stuff, the sort of humor, you know, some
that's
people find it humorous. Yeah.
This really feels to me something like, because I think it's a, at the moment, it's like a 67 on Metacritic. Yeah. I think it's like 6.57. I could definitely see this being the sort of thing that gets these kind of reviews when it first comes out, because it's being judged by, you know, press who play everything. Mm-hmm. But it's the sort of thing you can imagine in a year to 2 years' time, finding out that it's got this like big cult following. Yeah. I can see like the people that, that don't care about any of that stuff, that don't play everything, that haven't played the last few Assassin's Creed, it's just like resonating a lot deeper, and it being a thing that like really finds a pretty hardcore audience.
Yeah,
it's got imagine
the vibe of one of those games that came out during the 2000s, like a lot of the time out of Europe, like a game called Boiling Point, I remember, was one of them, where they were really off the grid games that were pretty broken, but they did one thing that people liked enough that or like it just locked in with whatever puzzle jigsaw piece someone had in their head. I struggle to imagine this being quite that game for a lot of people, because I think it's doing the stuff it does the best. It is still doing at not probably enough of a level, or it's not different enough from an Assassin's Creed or something, where I could see if you love Assassin's Creed, maybe you like this game even less because it's not doing that stuff you like quite to the level that other things do. Does that make sense?
And I think it's
but I do think that people who love Assassin's Creed love all these games.
Well,
that's what sort of found when I sort of go dive into the comments looking for the you know, the general sort of groundswell of opinion.
Yeah.
Like, people who love these collectathon open world games, specifically the Ubisoft ones, do seem to love them all. Like that immortal, what was it called? Gods and Phoenix.
Phoenix Rising.
People love that. Like, it did okay with reviews, but like, it seemed like the people who sought it out, bought it and played it, not to review it, really enjoyed it.
This is to Assassin's Creed what Immortals Phoenix Rising is to Breath of the Wild.
It's
just everything's not done to quite the same degree, and there's elements of the story that are bad decisions, in my opinion. In a different way for this one, where like it's not that the writing necessarily, it's just that the way the writing is delivered completely doesn't let you enjoy any of the writing because it's not there.
Yeah.
Everything else, I think I'd probably be fine to just chip away through it. And I guess I can turn that off, but it's like everything else you can kind of go, oh, okay, yeah. But the narrator is just like such a such a baffling stylistic choice. Like everything else I can sort of go, oh, it's a matter of taste and whatever. But the narrator, just like the frequency of it and the way that it pulls you out is, but knowing that you can turn that off.
Turning that off.
It's like, just do that.
Getting past those first maybe 3 hours where it's like a little guided. And getting properly into it being an open world game where you're going around and doing random side quests that you get by moving around. I've really enjoyed it a lot more as that.
Yeah, yeah. And I would say it is, I feel like as happens a bit, we're being a little negative because we can't look past this thing that we find sort of obnoxious and tedious about it. But yeah, I think it'll have its audience out there. So
I agree, yeah.
At the very least in a few months' time when it's on sale or whatever, like it's definitely worth dipping in that if in that respect when you've got a bit of a like a bit of a break in your schedule and you want something new to play and if you like this kind of style of thing. Because it is, bits of it are very creative and unique and it's, I think it's worth checking out based on that alone.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, if you love that type of game, the open worldy Assassin's Creed-y, Mad Maxy type of thing,
and it does, adding the gun.
You might like it.
That's the, I do like some of the combat. Like, I like most of the combat. I like some of the combinations of existing mechanics. Like the gun, the melee, the dodge. Like, maybe the powers aren't super intuitive, but it's, I think if you take away the tonal weird stuff.
Yeah.
And it pops up on Game Pass or, you know, it's a half price sale in 6 months. Because I loved Mad Max and no one else did in the world, apparently. Like, it just came and went and reviews were pretty average. Again, like sixes, sevens.
Yep.
But the combination of like car combat and exploration and the setting, that was like enough for me to love the game.
Yeah.
And I didn't even like, you know, the story or the dialogue in that game. So I can see this really hitting with some people.
Yeah.
Maybe. But
because it feels good and it looks good. And some people, don't care about all the other stuff that's on top of it. So,
yeah. That is something else I keep seeing when I look for reactions to this. People being like, I don't care about video game stories. I just want to play it. I skip every cutscene. Like, well, you probably like this game.
I mean, if you're doing that already, then like, go nuts, I suppose.
Yeah.
But I still don't think any of the gameplay stuff quite gets anywhere high to a high point. Like, all that everything removed, it's like a 7 out of 10 type of thing where it's like, okay, this is fine. But then the story stuff drags it down just because it's so in your face early on as well.
Yeah.
And it's so constant that you kind of can't skip it. So even if you're trying to avoid it, you kind of can't. But like, it's a decent thing of what it's trying to do. So if you love that type of genre, maybe you'll get something out of this. But
yeah,
I would not bother with it otherwise.
We'd been talking about this in the chat a little bit. And then Ben, you said that you're like, oh, it'd be good to, you know, if we have a game to talk about that we are enjoying. Because, you know, it's not, we don't want to put out something where we just kind of shit on games for an entire hour.
Yeah.
And that really got in my head and I was like, okay, yeah, I should, you know, I'm kind of, I'm not hating Biomutant, but I'm certainly not feeling too compelled by it. And I don't just want to, have a whole episode of being purely negative about a game.
Yeah.
So that really inspired me to kind of like go hunting for something that I was going to enjoy this week. And I don't know how far into it I am. I get the feeling that I've maybe nearly finished it, playing There Is No Game.
Oh, really?
Which I saw, I think it's just recently out on Switch. I've been playing it on the iPad. Mm-hmm. It kind of put me off initially because of the, I don't know, the title of it seemed like it was going to be, you know, one of these things that's kind of trying too hard to be like, funny
bit
or...
bit of a Stanley Parable type of vibe.
Yeah, that's sort of vibe. But
Stanley Parable vibe is really good, by the way.
I never liked that.
I thought it was done very well. Again, it has a British narrator.
Yeah.
But it's a good one. And it is very... It's just a game about games, about playing games and designing games. It's very meta.
Right. Yeah. I kind of got... Just from the title and the vibe of the trailer and everything, I got a bit of like an Amazeballs kind of vibe from this, which I thought. But it is... I don't want to go too specific on it because I think what's so fun and great about it is just not knowing what you're going to get out of this game.
Yeah.
It is, I think it's really funny.
Yeah, me too.
And I think it's really creative and interesting and cool. And basically, the very start of the game is you boot it up and there is a voice. It's so much narrators this week.
There's, what, is this a British narrator again?
Is he Russian?
He's
European in some form.
It's a deeper voice, right? I don't remember exactly what the accent is.
But it's basically there's a title screen and there's a voice going, nah, fuck off.
Mm.
No, Sorry, just you may as well just turn it off. Mm. Turn the system off. Don't bother. And then it's basically up to you to work out what to do on this title screen to get something else to happen.
Mm.
And then basically it is essentially a point and click game, but it is very meta. It's very referential to other video games and tropes of playing games. Mm. And it references like specific genres. It references like weird specific things about playing games in the 90s.
Yeah.
It's funny in its own right, and it's also funny the jokes that it's making about gaming. I think it might be one of, if not the only thing I've played where I just genuinely have no idea what's going to happen moment to moment. Oh. Not just in a story beat way, but in terms of presentation, mechanics. It's so creative and it's so fun.
That sounds good, because the thing that I didn't like about Stanley Parable, just to like make it clear, was that it got quite repetitive. Like it would start you at the same point and then it would change it later.
Yes.
But you had to kind of do the same stuff again and again. And I felt like, okay, I kind of get this. And then it didn't really swing it
right
for me at any point. But this sounds like the antithesis to that, where like
I would love to do
wiggling you.
I really would love
really to quiggling and wiggling you, yeah.
Is it, if it's wiggling you about, then hey,
it's I yeah, I
1 minute
echo
it's
that.
Wiggling, 1 minute it's quiggling.
Yeah,
I love to both.
You absolutely have no idea what's going to happen next. I really really like that about
That's
it
cool.
And like I probably only poured like 90 minutes into it, if that. But it's, you know, that's like a movie.
To get to the, like, you finished it or?
I don't think I finished it.
Oh,
no.
Right, okay, yeah.
I was just fucking around with it. And yeah, it's really fun. That sort of undercutting tropes of like real point and click stuff. If you pick this thing up and you're like, well, what do I do with this? Oh, it must interact with that. No, it doesn't interact with that. And then you just, it's like a lateral thinking puzzle the whole way through.
It's also got a really nice system in it where there's a little button on the side where you can just get a hint whenever you want.
Yes.
And it doesn't make you feel like you're like shortchanging yourself. It's just like, hey, you know what? If you're bashing your head against a wall and you feel like you've tried to combine everything together and you can't quite do it, just here you go. No, and I've been doing that a bit of just like, yep, you know what? I feel like I've tried everything, and you know, it is cool how it just like, it just gives you that, and it makes it, because it's about the whole kind of sensory weird experience of like being trapped in this game. I really would recommend. I bought it on the iPad. It's like $8.
Right.
I really would recommend diving in without looking at a trailer or screenshots. Right. It's really best just going in and giving yourself over to this weird experience of a game that is talking to you, telling you that there's nothing there to play, and then all this stuff kind of unraveling on from it. There's so many like cool, funny, specific things about it that I'd love to do like a spoiler chat about it at some stage. Maybe if we all finish it, because there is enough to talk about getting into the nitty gritty, but I couldn't recommend it more. It's really really impressive stuff, and for something that just the title of it really put me off for a bit, because it just seems a bit I don't know.
It has a subtitle right as well,
Wrong Dimension,
and it's like it's just one game. I think like why is there...
so it's like a sequel to a Game Jam game that the same person made.
Okay.
So they made like a short version of this, because we talked about it on a friend of the show, Andrew Levins's podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Me and him the other day.
All
the Small Games. And he does go into more detail about what happens in the thing, so maybe think about that. Just
okay.
You can skip over a bit, but
for such a short experience, don't spoil any of it.
Go in blind, because the first like three kind of main things that happen, I was just like, oh fuck yeah, this is so cool.
It's so fun when someone has such creative ideas.
Yeah,
it reminded me hearing about it of like those old. Like either flash games, or they were just games based in a website where there would be a puzzle on the thing.
Yeah.
And you had to like change the URL to solve the puzzle.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
Sometimes you'd have to copy paste an image to somewhere, you know, like
it's heaps of that sort of stuff.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah. It is. It's basically, and again, I don't want to get too specific because it's great to go in blind, but it's LucasArts point and click style adventure, but just set across all these different weird formats of that.
Yeah.
So it's not just like you're, you know,
a detective in a room,
like trying to, it's like really like meta, like different little screens of very, very creative and different stuff.
Cool.
Yeah.
I played a couple of small puzzle games that I'll talk about very quickly because I mentioned them on that other podcast too. The Room VR. I think I've talked about the Room games on here before. They're puzzle games and they're fucking sick. They're
your favorite franchise.
Like maybe. Yeah. They're all quite short, but it's just you get a bunch of puzzle boxes in a room and you got to fiddle with little gadgets on them to open the box.
Yeah, you quiggle the gadgets.
What more do you want than a bit of wiggling and quiggling on a little tiny box that anyone's guesses what's in there?
Yep.
Probably something weirdly like
Gwyneth Paltrow's head.
Mystical. Could be. Could be.
Okay.
You don't know. People are capable of anything, and that's the point. But yeah, it's a VR version, and it's just as good as the iPhone.
Yeah, I should try it. I should give it a go.
It's very cool. And Manifold Garden, which you guys talked about a while ago. And I just want to echo that that is a good puzzle game.
Fun aesthetic. Like, good, interesting. I haven't seen. It's sort of like, what's that one on the iPhone? And you, like, rotate.
Angry Birds?
The weather?
Twitter.
Yeah.
Stocks.
No.
Monument Valley.
Yeah. It's simple, blocky, but like stylistic visual aesthetic.
It reminds me of Antichamber, which came out like 8 years ago or something now, which I didn't really like because I kept completely losing track of where I was because it's all that non-Euclidean geometry.
Whoa.
That's a term I knew before seeing it once in an IGN review.
Wow.
Definitely. That's not where I learn knowledge is from IGN review. Oh my God.
I learn about what's funny from IGN reviews.
So yeah, it's just weird big spaces where you're moving around in confusing cool ways
up
and
the
affecting
walls.
Gravity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
So it's a fun game.
I played a
these are everywhere too. I'm just a Biomutants on the PS4 and Xbox One and PC.
Mm-hmm.
Just figure this is helpful for some people if they get their information from someone who gets their information from IGN reviews.
Yeah, there is no game I think is on. It's on the Switch,
it's on PC,
App Store,
Windows
on
and Mac OS, Android and iOS, Nintendo Switch.
Fuck yeah.
Not on PS and Xbox?
No,
but
it is
yeah,
not.
Every,
not. There is no
else.
Game.
Get it, and
it doesn't really lend itself to playing it on a TV.
No, it's great on the iPad. It works really well with a touchscreen.
Cool.
Just the like point and clicky drag drop kind of thing. I've been playing a game that I believe is only out on the Switch called Tiger Trio. It is a puzzle game made by a company called Oink Games, who primarily make board games.
Right.
This was recommended to me last night by a friend of the show, Andrew Levins.
This is a direct recommendation? You didn't just listen to his podcast?
No, this came in the form of a direct message.
Ooh,
on the Facebook Messenger app.
Okay, okay.
I got my recommendations from him over a Zoom call that was recorded, so... you know, who's in the lead of the race here?
Yeah, there were some filthy images attached to that, Dean, let me just say.
The horny dad himself.
But, so it's got like a really neat, cartoony little style that's right up my alley. And it is you're a little family of cats that run a little sushi van food truck thing.
What sort of class are these cats? Mm. Like, are they lower class cats or are they more like upper class sort of, you know, well to do?
Mm. What's the weight situation on the cats?
Like aristocrats.
Are they fat cats or?
Yeah, they're fat cats. It's okay. Set in Canberra.
I didn't even remember the word fat cats. I was thinking aristocrats.
Means the same thing.
Yeah, nice. Wow.
Anything funnier than that in this game?
They're hot and I want to fuck them, if that's what you're asking. So they run a little, it's a little sushi food truck and it's basically.
They'd eat all the sushi.
I know.
You can't trust a cat in a sushi food truck.
One of them does.
Oh, the bad boy of the group. Yeah.
It's basically one of those kind of food service little puzzler games where you've got little conveyor belt.
Oh, great.
People down the end who are like, I want this many of this type of sushi.
Yep.
And you've basically got to set up a series of ramps to maybe transfer the right colored sushi across to the right customer.
Right.
And then you've got...
Like a pipe puzzle game.
Yeah. Right. And then you've also got, you can deploy... a cat who will either add sushi to the plate, and then there's another cat who will eat sushi off the plate to get the right number and the right color. And it's that sort of thing that, you know, you've seen a bunch of times before.
Yeah.
But the package is just it's very cute, it's very whimsical. It's got kind of like weird sort of.
You want to see a cute whimsical package?
I did last night when Andrew Levins messaged me this recommendation for this game. But yeah, I love this style of game. It's yeah. It's got tunnel levels in it. It's
tunnel levels.
Whoa. Fuck, she's got to go underneath.
Am I going underground? Well, maybe it escalates into that later on in the game. But
there are a bunch of levels, I hear.
Yeah,
I think escalates. That gets you from level to level.
There you go.
An escalator. Mm.
Well, it's on the Switch, so you could just play it in handheld mode while on an escalator.
Okay. We're having a bit of a play with language this week.
Yeah,
having a little bit of fun with what you can do with language.
Hey, when you're locked down, language is all you have, baby.
Man, I'm feeling the stress so much. Of yeah. What's gonna happen?
Though. Yeah, I've felt all the kind of manic energy mm-hmm. coming back in the last in the last 48 hours.
I can feel my eyes are slightly wider, but not in an interested way. Just like in a end of 2001, A Space Odyssey way.
Oh yeah.
When I saw that baby, I was like, whoa.
Having weird space adventures.
Oh, just quickly, Tiger Tree, I really recommend it.
Yes.
Great little puzzler. If you like that style of game, it's the whole like presentation of it is very charming. And I'm cool. Really enjoying it.
Switch only, you reckon?
Switch only, I think, at this point.
Fair enough.
Like single player Overcooked, kind of.
Yeah.
Speaking of space adventures and manic energy and tension, I've been playing, I told you guys last night, I've played 12 hours now of Returnal.
Yes.
And I am really loving it, and I'm really annoyed that I'm not better at it. I don't know if I'm on track for like where I should be, but I'm like 12 hours in, second biome, got to the second boss, and loving the aesthetic, loving the haptic stuff. Like, I can't emphasize enough, and you guys mentioned it, it really elevates this to make it feel like a next-gen game. Like,
yeah.
It's the best. Or it's...
Astrobot was
creative, but it wasn't... Like, this is integrated
into... It's a
pack-in.
It feels more like a demo. I mean,
It's deliberately doing that, right?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
This is just a game.
And it elevates the existing gameplay. Like, it doesn't... It's not distracting or gimmicky. It's just fun. And, like, even just the... You know, when you hold X to skip a cutscene and it goes...
Yeah.
It's just really fun. It's very immersive. Like, when you regenerate and there's like a boop, 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 and like a little buzz. Like, it's just... It backs up and it supports the interface and the aesthetic and the gameplay really, really well.
Well, you weren't getting this out of Adam because you've been playing with headphones, but I mentioned that one of the things I love about it is the little noise to tell you that your alt weapon is charged again coming out of the controller, which is just such a small thing. But the fact that it doesn't get lost in the sound of the actual game and you just always know, and it also happening like right in front of you just really does make you feel like it's so immersive.
The raindrops on the controller, like, I know that's like almost the most gimmicky thing of it all, but it helps you get immersed into this game, which becomes really immersive and really tense and exciting. And I just keep getting wrapped up in every single run. Like, I don't like that it's a roguelike because I am frustrated that I'm not, like, I am getting better at it, but I'm not getting sort of exponentially further into the game as it like aligns with my ability to play the game getting better. You know, it's like I feel like I should be much further into this game.
And you can crap out just based on your skills getting better, but you just having a bad luck with like what's been generated.
You can die quite quickly to some enemies and stuff like that.
I still haven't been able to get past the first boss and have only gotten up to it a handful of times. But I feel like if I was able to just focus on that every time, then I would have made great progress through it. I kind of have the same thing where I'm a bit annoyed that I can't just
teleport there.
Just get through the game.
You get upgrades that quicker for you.
Once you get to the second biome, you can pretty much get there very quickly. Mm. But the sort of trade-off there is that if you want to be able to beat the second boss or even get to it, because there are enemies that appear in that second biome that are quite harder than everything else. They teleport around and they're like fighting almost like an equivalent of you that, you know, they're quite difficult.
Yeah.
To get good enough to get even there, it is recommended that you do most of the first biome. You want to ramp up your weapon proficiency. You want to get your health extended or doubled, even if you can get it that much. Like,
you can get regenerative items that, you know, there's a whole bunch of stuff
if
that
you do damage,
have
you heal,
with you.
But that makes it more repetitive than it already was, which is, like, the big drawback for me is that the first time I played through the Overgrown Ruins, I'm like, wow, this is a great environment. It's so detailed. Graphically, it probably is the best game I've played so far ever. The atmosphere is great. Again, the rain and the enemies that appear, the story stuff, the language that you decode. Mm.
The first time you find the house is a cool moment.
The second time you find the house, like that stuff unfolding is
the
really
third?
Fun. Not yet.
Okay.
The fifth?
Oh.
The 12th? I don't know how many there are.
But the the 12th time you see the house that is just the first, you know, like the 12th time you run across it and the door's locked and you're like, oh, okay, not progressing through the story yet. It does start to kind of drag. And I just
Have you been in the house?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, but you know, when you go back into, when you find the house again,
right.
on a subsequent run after you've done it for the first time,
it changes
you can't go
the
in
second
it.
Time.
The
yeah,
house.
You can't go in every time the house pops up.
Maybe not every single time, but there are multiple instances of going inside the house and having different things happen.
But in the same biome?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
But like I have come across the house 30 times. And
I just haven't done that many runs. I got very lucky on beating the first boss in like the second run through.
Right.
And I died like very quickly in the first one. So like basically the first one, so it the pace of it felt different to me to what that pace actually ends up being later on.
Because I got to the first boss on my second run as well and died, and then it took hours to beat it.
Right.
I just feel like it is, my big issue with the game is that it's a roguelike.
Mm.
And it's a shame because I want to see what happens. I don't want to just watch your Let's Play. Like, I'm loving the tangible gameplay of this game is so fun that I want to, and it's like tense, and when you do beat a boss or get even further than you got last time, like you're like humming with excitement. Like it is very satisfying.
Yeah. And it's weird because the bit that grates on the subsequent runs isn't the combat, because the combat is basically, it's like playing Gallagher or whatever where you could just do it infinitely, really.
Yeah,
because
it's so
fun
that
that's what you want to, it's the exploration stuff and the moving around the environment and being like, I know what this is going to kind of be.
And also
that's the bit that starts grating on the sub. Yeah.
The procedurally generated room stuff. There's like five different rooms in each biome. Like they're just a series of the same rooms that you'll see over and over again, which is like very rewarding or exciting when you like get out of a big fight and you're like, oh, this room is just a treasure chest.
Yeah.
Thank fuck.
Yeah.
And I'm one step closer to the next goal. But yeah, and it's good that you go, like, you're like, oh, I know how this arena works. I know where to run. I know where to, you know, fuck around. But it's not infinite or anything like that. But yeah, I just wish that I had gotten, like, 12 hours in this kind of game, usually where I'd tap out or hope that it would be ramping up to the end.
Yeah, a lot of, like, you'd be getting near the end.
Yeah, you'd hope so.
This was just a third-person standard 15 hours.
Yeah.
About average.
But I'm, like, two-thirds of the way. No. Sorry, I'm one third of the way through.
When you beat that boss, you are one third of the way through.
So there's six biomes?
I think there's six and then maybe like a boss or something.
I can't quite
remember what it is because I haven't finished it. I kind of ended up flopping off.
Yeah, and it's a shame.
Was that good for you too, Returnal?
Yeah, I feel the same way. I don't feel like I'm ever going to get to the end of it. I feel like it's going to be something that I dip in with here and there. And that's probably fine. Like, I feel like I just incrementally over time will still get my money's worth out of it. But
it's the sort of skill-based type of thing, though, where, your skills will wear off over time. So
it's hard
to dip back in.
Because there's less, I mean, generally in these kinds of games, I think Hades was the first thing that really did it that had a story in it. And generally these types of games, they're just very arcadey and there's not much in the way of beats that you're uncovering. So it sort of doesn't matter if you just have this fun arcadey game that you kind of do a lot of sessions of for like a short period of time and then you tap out on it. But with this, it's like the whole setting and the story is cool and interesting and I want to see the rest of it.
Yeah.
Like I want to know what happens.
I really like, you don't get sort of how immersive and fun and good and retro the even menus and shit are just from the trailers and the lead up. Like I did not realize it was going to be such a cohesive style, a very sort of alien.
It's on the level throwback of Alien Isolation kind of with its presentation where it is really elevated by how much effort it put into that stuff.
And the way that the story is conveyed is subtle and fun and mysterious.
Hey, I got a new bit of story for you. Subtle just means quiet, right?
Yeah. And the mysterious bit is like, oh, do I?
I've got the first half of a story and then you're going to pass out.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll wake you back up I'll tell you that we'll rest in 4 hours.
Yeah.
See you later.
You're going to die 17 times before that.
Hey, I'm being subtle over here.
But
by telling you something directly, but at a low volume.
The way that sort of like the artifacts and the equipment and like, I do get how and why this is a roguelike game.
Mm.
Like the sort of real excitement of running into one of those rooms where you can buy shit or like fabricate it and being like, all right, I get an astronaut, I'm going to have an extra life and I'll take on the boss in this one.
Yeah.
And I might actually... And like that stuff is so rewarding because it's a roguelike.
Mm.
I just wish that it was a little easier or that you could save during one run. Like one save during one run, let me go play Yakuza and come back tomorrow.
Just suspending, not even saving to reload it, just right. Suspending the game in some way other than the system is the biggest flaw of that game currently.
Yeah.
You know, everyone no one can fucking do 2 hours at a go for sure.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
You might have to do something.
Cause yes. It's very intense a lot of the time too.
And that's been the biggest thing putting me off of playing more of
it. Yeah. I don't think we've ever talked about the adrenaline thing is so good. You get little power-ups for the longer you go, the more enemies you take out without getting hit yourself.
Yep.
You get incrementally more and more and more powerful.
Mm.
And that, again, when you see that ramping up, God, you feel good, but like that's my biggest thing that turns me off playing this game is like, fuck, it feels bad when you do badly.
Yep.
Like when you lose that adrenaline or when you die,
yep.
It makes me more filthy than in anything else I play. And it's just like that feeling of just going, you motherfucker, just kind of like
when it's
makes
one of the
me
dumb
not want to put myself
to
in.
Get you as well.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're like, oh,
a
I
dumb
just ignored
mistake.
You. That was
stupid.
Yeah.
But it's always your fault. Like it's got that perfect thing where it is. You really feel like it's all down to skill.
Yeah.
At all times.
And it's not just like.
But it can be demanding.
This isn't a game for roguelike fans. This is a game for people who like third-person shooters.
Arcadey.
Like, that is so good. The gameplay and the movement, like the exploration, but moving around an arena and shooting.
Yeah.
And the feedback from the controller, it is so good. That's
first
why
game
I keep playing
I've played
it.
In a while too, where all the different types of weapons are good.
Yeah.
Where I'm not like, oh, I never want to use this one. Like in Resident Evil 8 or whatever, I never really used like a couple of the weapon types
because
they just don't feel great or they don't work with what you're doing. But all of these are good.
Yeah.
Sometimes, yeah.
Which is perfect because you only get to carry one.
You'll find a new thing where you get to like get a new weapon and it's genuinely hard to be like, ah, fuck, which I don't know whether to take that because I like that one, but I'm doing really well with this one at the moment.
Yeah,
maybe maybe the new one will kind of put me off a bit and I'll fuck up this run.
Mm.
I'm so stupid.
There is a great point. Or for me, I found after a certain amount of deaths during a play session where you're like, whatever, I'm starting again. And it is fun from the start. Like that is the big tick in its favor is like, okay, I'm back at the ship, but I'm going to run into a room and it's going to feel great, even with a default weapon, to just fuck some shit up.
And building yourself back up again is still fun.
Yes.
Every time.
Yeah.
Speaking of fun, you didn't have that with the other game you played.
Oh, yeah. Look, Miitopia is no good. The end.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's much more to say about it. It feels like it's more on the Labo toy end of what Nintendo are producing.
It's a 3DS game. Did you know that? This
is
a remaster. Yeah. I had no idea until like this week that was a remaster of a 3DS game.
I don't think there's anyone who's on the fence about this game who's like, I'll see what the reviews say when they come out. It's like,
I don't think there's anyone going around going like, Miitopia's coming out.
Who is this
and
for?
Like, I read a Kotaku review of it that was like very charitable, but you know, you read between the lines and they're like, this is a shallow game with a weird, you know, series of aesthetic choices. Mm. You don't control really a lot of stuff during the combat. The exploration is automatic. It's just...
What do you do?
You just sort of move through these 2D, like, townscapes, talking to people, collecting fighters, and you're, like, rescuing people who have had their faces taken.
Right.
And they've been turned into monsters. And so, like, you beat a monster and you save that person. But
and they get a face back, like a randomly generated me, or it downloads one randomly, or...
At the start of the game, you can design all the me's of the townspeople, or you can let it be done randomly, or I think probably you can connect it with friends and get friends' me faces and stuff. But, yeah, it's really... It just feels like a genuine, like... 4 to 12 year olds game. Like, there's I don't want to shit on it because it's like, it just feels like something for kids.
Fisher-Price has made a very underwhelming new construction set. I was able to put it together in 14 seconds.
Mm-hmm. We were saying before the show that the only thing to recommend this game would be if you put like Kevin Spacey and like Harvey Weinstein avatars in there.
Woody Allen.
Yeah, made your own Me-Too-pia.
Yeah.
That would
and
be
if the, that's the only thing.
That's it. That's and look, honestly, that's not it's not a bad suggestion.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. The best thing about this game is the riff we had off air.
Yeah, I mean, you knew from like watching the trailer of like, you can put your boss in there as the dragon. It's like, okay, if that's
if that's
up your alley, then go. But again, like I said, you know that you really want to play this, or you didn't even know it was coming out. There's no one who's like, I'll see what the boys think of it, and then I might go in. Yeah,
strange one to bother putting back out.
It is odd.
Get
it.
But I don't know who it's for.
Nintendo's a fucking bizarre company.
Yeah, you know who's a great company? Capcom.
Oh yeah,
because I went back in on Resident Evil 7 this week. And it's great.
This can't. It's a good game. All of a sudden, comes loves to our Resident house,
tells us, tells us the game we've been talking about for fucking 5 years now.
Yeah.
Fucking Resident Evil 7. You fucking played 2. You played 3.
Yeah.
You played 4. I've fucking played most. You know,
I come into your house.
Yeah,
and
you
then
tell me about Resident
Evil
7.
I
want
to leave, and I have to find 3 dogs' heads hidden around the house.
I'm going to lock you in here, but I'm going to hide the gem to get out in here. Yeah. How does a gem unlock a door? Fuck off.
Come into our house in the swamp and tell us how to eat maggots? Fuck off.
You come to my house, you say you want to fuck my wife. I've been fucking her for years.
I'm going to fuck her in front of you. So that should be something that you like.
Yeah, I do like seeing people enjoy things that I liked a few years ago. So you know what? I'm glad to hear you fucking like it.
We're still talking about the game.
Huh?
Yeah, it's great. The start is very scary. But similar to 8, like you ease into it and you're like, okay, I'm more, maybe it's the familiarity of like, oh, now I know the layout of the house. I know where I'm going to run to if I need to. There's a safe. But yeah, it's fantastic. It is much scarier than 8, I feel like.
Yeah. Early on especially,
I've gotten to the stuff where you like go in the basement and you're just shooting the molded and it's like, okay, this is maybe not as fun as shooting werewolves, but... there's still puzzles and there's still, like environmental stuff that will help you. Like it does feel quite satisfying to look around a room and be like, now I know how to do this.
Mm.
That's free if you've got a PS5, right?
It is.
On the PS Plus collection thing.
It is indeed,
Everyone should play it.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
You go to do the 2 remake after this.
Yeah,
because the stuff that you're liking, you're telling me during the week, the stuff that you're liking in 7... that's more present than it was in 8 is even more present in 2.
Yeah.
I think.
Maybe even do 3 first.
Oh, bitch.
And then 2 will be an improvement over 3.
Bitch.
Oh, you reckon?
Maybe. Because 3 kind of does 2 but worse.
Right.
3 is just more action.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's very short.
Or maybe do 2 and then if you love 2, 3 is like an okay expansion.
Yeah.
Pack, which
it
kind of was at the time as
well. 3 feels like DLC. 3 is like, we talked about it about a year ago, but it's like 5
We talked
hours.
About it about a fucking year ago, man. And you come to us and you tell me you know what the fuck's going on with Nemesis.
Well, that's maybe the only thing that's keeping me back from 2 and 3 is the Umbrella Corporation stuff and the zombies.
Yeah,
my least favorite things about the whole Resident Evil
oeuvre. Yeah. I mean, two just does the puzzle stuff and absolutely thrashing an area, spending all your time in this basically in this one space.
Right,
I think it just does that so well.
2 is the fun version of that stuff too.
Right,
where like 1 and 0 have very much like, oh no, this company's made zombies and the zombies are terrifying. But 2 is a lot more. The remake of 2 at least is a lot more. Having fun with it.
Yeah,
you turn up, you're locked in a police station, you're trying to find your way out.
A big mutant guy's chasing you.
Crawling out a big mutant.
And the zombies are fun to fight in the way that the werewolves are.
Yeah, okay.
In 2.
Yeah. Good week of gaming. I reckon Returnal, despite my frustrations with my own inability to play it, is like up game of the year contention. Everything about it
it's
that is like
game.
Next generation.
Yeah.
Is is really fucking good.
It's a kind of a shame. I mean, like, the fact that it's on the PS5 only means it looks great and everything, but I wish more people could play it because they can't get their hands on PS5s. But it really is at the point where that is enough to go, like, look, you'll play more stuff on the PS5 one day.
Mm.
Try and get one.
Yeah.
Get and Returnal. Play Ratchet soon.
Yes. It coming out so early on in the life cycle of the PS5 too does feel like it... Over time,
PS5 2.
Whoa. What?
Holy fuck.
Jesus. Have you got some insider info that we don't know about?
I think it means it'll over time be one of those things that sort of get, you know, games that come out very early on in a life cycle tend to sort of get forgotten about.
When this is $20 on sale in 3 years,
oh yeah.
That is a absolute corker.
It should
what
be.
What a spanking deal.
And maybe this is, that's why the exclusive platform, it should be getting the same buzz that Hades got. I played a lot of Hades and enjoyed it, but this is the better version for me of an elevated roguelike.
Yeah.
This feels more like, it's weird for a roguelike to be a AAA, but it feels AAA.
Yeah.
Hades still very much, it's great, but it still very much feels like an indie game.
Yeah. HouseMark came out and said this week as well, like, our plan is to make more stuff like Returnal of that level.
Yeah.
So not to go back to this quick little Super Stardust or whatever.
Yeah.
Cool.
But so that'll be cool to see what they do next.
Yeah.
Speaking of what we're going to do next... GTFO.
Well, I'm going to say real quick, they're making a new Time Splitters because it won't take much time to tell you about that because I'm already done. That's all they said. It's like Free Radical, who are the people who made the other ones, but they're like, yeah, we'll make it. They're not even making it. Yeah. They will make it.
Right.
In a few months, they'll start.
And I'm going to put on record I've heard the Final Fantasy Team Ninja Neo game rumor. And if it turns out to be true, we said it here first.
If it doesn't turn out to be true, I never believed it.
Yeah, I'm joking now.
All right, let's wrap it up there for this week. You can go to filthycasuals.com.au to find the links to our Patreon. You can get a bonus episode every week if you're on there. You can also get early access to the premium episodes that we do.
Yes.
Which you can find on our Bandcamp.
Early and free access.
Yes.
You just get them in your RSS feed, yeah.
You can get onto our Bandcamp to get our premium episodes. We did one recently of Metal Gear Solid.
Yeah,
before
a lot of
that,
fun.
We did Resident Evil. Heaps of franchises and companies and stuff on there that we've dived into.
Yeah, if you've been getting angsty about the Uncharted movie screenshots, go listen to us talk about Uncharted for 2 hours or whatever.
Were there movie screenshots?
Yeah, Tom Holland and Mark Wahlberg, mustacheless as Sully.
Oh, but they're both meant to be younger, right?
Yeah.
Meant to be early days.
I think I said this in our Discord. I don't need them to be lookalikes for the characters.
No.
And I think Tom Holland, he's a fun leading man.
Yeah.
I think you can do, like, he's young Indiana Jones.
Mm.
You know, like, that's fine. Mm. Wahlberg has been in some of my favorite movies, but he's like.
Wait, but Tom Holland does have a mustache.
No, that must be.
Or is that from another movie?
Yeah, that's probably from that movie he did with the
Mr. Mustache.
Avengers guys. Yeah, Mr. Mustache.
Hold on. Let me get a look at these photos. I'm going to live react. Yeah, that just looks like Tom Holland and Mark Wahlberg standing there.
Yeah. And I don't know how you can be turned off by that or, they're actors in a movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're younger and I guess their assumption is that they'll. And also, it's not to do with the video games. They're taking that property and making their own thing, right? Like, it's not like it's a direct continuation.
Having them in cosplay does not make it a good movie.
Spray Mark Wahlberg's hair white.
Yeah. Though.
How about that?
Yeah.
He'd look pretty hot. I'd let him punch the shit out of me until I was blind.
But yeah, Uncharted and Naughty Dog, I think we do a whole big discussion on filthycasualspod.bandcamp.com.
Yep. Yeah. Also, we've got the Let's Plays that are up on YouTube.
It Takes Two, baby.
We're doing It Takes Two at the moment. Check that out. They've all been, all those videos are really fun. So if you're wanting to binge something, maybe you got a bit of time coming up if you're in Melbourne.
Oh, yeah.
As of when this comes out, who knows?
Yeah.
But yes, thanks very much for listening. We'll see you next time. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
What Tommy just said was that he wanted to wrap the episode up. Will you do it? Yes or yes, but sarcastic?
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.